أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Verse number 256 of Surah Al-Baqarah.
Then Allah says, لا not إكراه, any compulsion, any force, any use of force. إكراه from the root كافراه. We did the word كرهن. كرهن is to dislike something. To not like to do something because you find it difficult or you don't want to do it. So لا إكراه, there is no compulsion, meaning you cannot force someone to do this. في in الديني, the religion. في الديني over here means in entering into the religion. You cannot force someone to become a Muslim. You cannot force someone to enter into the religion. Obviously, which religion is this? Islam. Why? Because قد in fact تبين, it became clear. What became clear? الرشد, the right way. الرشد over here gives the meaning of hidayah, guidance, that which is right and proper, Islam. That has become clear من from الغي, the error, the straying. الغي is from the root غين, واو, يا. غوى. غوى is to deviate from the right path. And ضلال is also used for misguidance. So what's the difference between ضلال and غي? غي is generally used for misguidance with regards to religious matters, with regards to religious issues. So ضلال is a general word. Like for example, Allah says in the Quran that the disbelievers say, إِذَا مِتْنَا ضَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, when we have become lost in the earth. So meaning our bones have decomposed and they have scattered all over the earth and we have completely disintegrated. So it's used in its literal sense as well. However, the word غي is used specifically in the context of religious issues. To deviate in the matters of religion. So right way, right conduct has become clear, has become distinct from the wrong way. This is why the haqq is clear from the batil. You cannot force someone to become a believer. Whoever has right sense will become a believer himself. فَمَنْ سَوْ whoever يَكْفُرْ, he denies, he disbelieves, بِالطَّاغُوتِ, with the طَاغُوت. طَاغُوت is from the root طَاغَيْنْيَ, طَغَى, طُغْيَان, which means to cross limits. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ لَمَّا طَغَى الْمَا, when the water crossed its limits, when the water overflowed. And the word طَاغُوت applies to any being that goes out of the had, that crosses the limit. Which limit? The limit of servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you cross the limit, when you cross the boundary, where are you going? You're trespassing. You're going into somebody else's rights, somebody else's exclusive property. Isn't it so? You're allowed to be here, you're not allowed to be in a certain room. When you cross these limits of your realm, what are you going to do? You're going to enter into somebody else's limits, somebody else's realm. So طاغوت refers to someone who crosses the limits of servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enters Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's exclusive rights. In other words, he claims to be God or he is worshipped. If he does not claim, he is worshipped. So طاغوت refers to false gods, those who are worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because everything else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is their status? Of being slaves to Allah. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything is as possessions, as also slaves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person crosses that limit, whether he's Iblis or anyone, crosses that limit and enters into the exclusive rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is he doing? طُغْيَان. This is transgression. So طَاغُوت refers to those who are worshipped besides Allah. Allah says, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوت, he who disbelieves in طاغوت, anyone who is worshipped besides Allah. وَيُؤْمِنْ, and he believes بِاللَّهِ in Allah, such a person, فَقَدْ, then in fact, إِسْتَمْسَكَ, he has grasped. إِسْتَمْسَكَ from the root ميم سين كاف. ميم سين كاف. We have done the word إِمْسَاك before. أَمْسِكُوهُنَّ. So, إِسْتَمْسَكَ, he has held on firmly to, بِالْعُرْوَ, with the handle. عُرْوَ is from the root عَيْن, رَا, وَاو. عُرْوَ. And عُرْوَ is used for a latch or a handle that a person holds onto for support. A latch or a loop, a handle, a grip that you hold on to for the purpose of support. You see, like for example, in buses, if there aren't enough chairs, seats for people to sit in, what do they have? They have the urwa hanging from the above so that you can hold on to it and not fall. Okay? Similarly, you have such urwa in the swimming pool so that you can climb up. And similarly, you have an urwa attached to a jug or a container or something that you can hold on to and then pour the water. So, such a person has held on to a handhold, a handle, that is al-wusqa, the firm, the strong. Wusqa from wal-sa-qaf, wasaq. Wasaq is what? That which is firm and strong. So wusqa, the firmest, the strongest. He's holding on to such a handle that is very, very strong. Imagine you're in the bus and you're holding on to that latch and it's not that strong. What's going to happen? One push and off you go with the handle in your hand. Or you're climbing onto something and you're holding onto the handle and you take support from it and it comes in your hand and off you go. So, فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُسْقَى. He's holding on to a very strong handhold. So strong it is that لَا نَوْتْ إِنْفِصَامَ. Any breaking, any cracking, لَهَا for it. For what? For this handle. إِنْفِصَامَ is from the root فَا صَوَدْ مِيمْ فَصَمْ. And فَصَمْ is to cause a crack. When something cracks but does not separate. Imagine a table or a wall or something or anything that cracks but does not separate. Usually when things crack, what happens to them? They break apart, they separate. That is what shaq is. But fasm is what? That there is only a crack, there is only a rift. So it is so strong that forget about coming apart, it will not even have a crack. It will not even have a crack. It is so firm, it is so strong. Wallahu and Allah, He is Sami'un, always all-hearing, and He is also Alimun, always all-knowing. Allahu Allah, He is Waliyu, close friend. Wali from the root Waw Lam Ya, and Wali is used for a close friend who offers help and protection. Wali is a close friend who offers protection and support. So Allah is the Wali. He is the protector. He is the helper. Of who? Alladina amanu, the believers. What does He do? What kind of support does He give them? Yukhrijuhum, He takes them out. He takes who out? He takes the believers out. Min from al-zulumati, the darknesses. Zulumat, plural of zulmah. Zulmah is darkness, gloom. So He takes them out of the darknesses, the many darknesses. What darknesses? Of misguidance, of lack of knowledge, of no Islam, of unbelief, of kufr. He takes them out of such darknesses. Where do they go? Ila to an-nur, the light. Notice, al-zulumat, multiple darknesses, and only one light. And that one light is the light of Islam. So He takes them out of the darknesses, and He takes them into Islam, into the light. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And as for those people who disbelieved, what about them? أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمْ. Their أَوْلِيَاء. أَوْلِيَاء is the plural of wali. Now you tell me this word أَوْلِيَاء, is it a sound plural or a broken plural? Broken. Because it's not waliyun, not waliyin. What is it? أَوْلِيَاء. So أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمْ, their أَوْلِيَاء are who? طَاغُوت, طَاغُوت. By the way, the word طَاغُوت seems to be a plural word. It's used both in plural and singular sense. The same word is used in both plural and singular sense. So their close protecting friends are Tawhud. Who offers support and help to them? Tawhud. And obviously their help and support is going to be not really help and support. Which is why يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ, they take them out, min from anuri, the light, إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ, to the darknesses. Such people, أُولَٰئِكَ, those أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ, companions of the fire, and in it, whom they فِيهَا, in it, خَالِدُونَ, ones who abide eternally. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها والله سميع عليم. اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُخْرِجُهُم مِّنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ يُخْرِجُونَهُم مِّنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون.
Verse number 256. لا إكراه في الدين. There's no compulsion in the religion. Meaning there's no compulsion in the acceptance of the religion. Now it is reported as the reason of revelation for this verse. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that before Islam, when an Ansar woman, a woman that was belonging to the Ansar tribe who lived in Medina, so the Ansar were the residents of Medina, and she would not bear children who would live, when the children would live up to be, reach an old age. So a woman who would not bear children who would live, she would make a vow that if she gives birth to a child who remains alive, she would raise him as a Jew. So this is referring to the practices that would take place before the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina. So an Ansar woman who would bear children but they would not live to grow up, she would make a vow that if I had a child or children who would grow up, then what would she do? She would make the child grow up as a Jew. When Banu al-Nadir, meaning the Jewish tribe, were evacuated from al-Madinah, so they were told to leave exiled, some of the children of the Ansar were being raised among them, and the Ansar said, "We will not abandon our children." At that, Allah revealed, "La ikraha fi din." There's no compulsion in the acceptance of religion. So here, "La ikraha fi din" is referring to that no person will be forced to accept the religion of Islam. Now, with regards to compulsion, compulsion in the religion is of several types. Number one, the first type is fitri jabr. Fitri jabr. This means to force someone to accept Islam, to force him to become a Muslim despite his reluctancy. He does not want to become a Muslim, but forcing him to become Muslim. This is what is prohibited in light of this verse. La ikraha fi din. There's no compulsion in accepting the religion. There's no compulsion. There's no force in entering in the religion of Islam. Meaning you cannot force a person to do this. Instead, what should you do? Give proofs, show them the signs, show them the truth, then leave it up to them to accept. They have a choice. Now notice how this verse is coming right after Ayatul Kursi. Allah has placed many signs in the universe, signs in the heavens, proofs on this earth, and then signs in the Qur'an, verses, and especially Ayatul Kursi, which informs us of who Allah is, so that we recognize Him, we know who He is. And after a person, he recognizes Allah, knows who Allah is, what is the next step? To submit, accept. Now someone who's doing this with a sincere heart, he will submit, he will accept. So use your mind, use your intellect, use the reasoning that Allah has given to you. Look at the proofs that are mentioned in Ayatul Kursi, one proof after another. And then submit yourself, because no one will force you to submit. No person will be forced to accept the religion of Islam. And if you just break down Ayatul Kursi, the way it begins, Allahu la ilaha illahu. Allah, there's no deity worthy of worship except Him. He is worthy of worship. He deserves to be worshipped. Now this one sentence, Allahu la ilaha illahu, signifies an absolute negation of true divinity except to Allah alone. He is worthy of worship. Turn to Him. Call upon Him. One proof, then another proof, and then another proof. After seeing all of these proofs, after understanding the truth, use your own mind. Use your own intellect. Because لا إكراه في الدين, there's no compulsion in the religion. In Surah Al-Ghashiyah, verse number 21 and 22, Allah addresses the Prophet ﷺ and says to him, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرٌ. So remind, indeed, you are a reminder. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ. You're not over them a controller. So your responsibility is to remind, is to give them the message, convey the truth. It is not your responsibility, it is not your duty to force the truth upon them. The verses that were prior to this have a similar message, that if Allah had willed, He could cause all the people to believe. He could have compelled them, forced them upon the truth, but He did not do this. He gave them a choice. So yes, you should encourage the other people, encourage one another, but there's no compulsion. لا إكراه في الدين. The other type of compulsion is قانوني جبر, which means that once someone has accepted Islam, they have entered the folds of Islam, forcing them to follow the rules of Islam. This is allowed, and it should be done. The first type is prohibited. What is the first type? Forcing someone to become Muslim. That is prohibited. لا إكراه في الدين. The second type of compulsion is once a person has entered Islam, then forcing them to follow the laws of Islam. Why should this be done? Because if a person does not follow the laws of Islam, does not follow the commandments, then number one, he's causing loss to himself, and then he'll be harming others. And not only this, by not following the laws of Islam, he's showing disloyalty, disrespect towards the commandments of Islam. So لا إكراه في الدين does not mean that once you accept Islam, you can do whatever I want. I can go out, I can steal, I can do this, I can do that. No. Now someone might come to you and say to you, I'm not following the laws of Islam because in the Quran Allah says لا إكراه في الدين. What will you say to them? They have misunderstood the verse. The verse means there is no compulsion in accepting the religion, in entering the religion. This is very similar to driving. When a person begins how to learn how to drive, does someone force him to get a driver's license? Who has a driver's license over here? Did someone force you? Was there anyone in this room who was forced to get a driver's license? Okay, exceptional cases. The exceptional cases everywhere. But generally speaking, you're not forced to get a driver's license. Once you have the driver's license, since it is a privilege, what do you have to do? You have to follow the rules. You have to follow the traffic laws. And if you do not follow the traffic laws, what will happen then? You will have a fine, a penalty, a ticket if you're speeding on the highway or on the streets. Similarly, once a person accepts the religion, he's a Muslim, in the folds of Islam, he's required to follow the rulings, the commandments, the laws of Islam. And if he does not follow the laws of Islam, then the hadd will be applied. So for example, if a person commits something haram, he'll be punished for it. So here, لا إكراه في الدين means that there's no compulsion, there's no force in acceptance of the religion. But once a person says, لا إله إلا الله, he must abide by the laws of Islam. Then Allah says, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. The right course has become clear from the wrong. So do not force anyone to become a Muslim because Islam is plain and clear. Its proofs and evidences are very, very clear. So there's no need to force someone to become a Muslim. The truth has become clear from falsehood. Good has become clear from evil. So it has become clear that faith is rectitude, iman is rushd, and kufr, disbelief, is ghay, error. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْ. Now how has truth become clear from falsehood? Number one, through the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distinguished in this great book, in the Qur'an, between haqq and batil, truth and falsehood, salah and fasad, rectitude, righteousness, good and fasad, corruption, rushd and ghay. So all of this has become clear. The truth has become clear from falsehood through the Qur'an. And this is why the Qur'an is also called Al-Furqan, the criterion, the one that distinguishes between truth and falsehood, right and wrong, tawheed and kufr. Allah says in Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 89, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And we have sent down to you the book, which book? The Qur'an, as clarification for all things. And what is meant by all things? All things that are related to guidance. All things that are in need of man's spiritual needs. All of that has become clear. And what has made it clear? The Quran has made it clear. So this is number one. That rushd has become clear from ghay, from falsehood, from error, through the Quran. Number two, through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the sunnah? The sunnah explains the Quran. It clarifies the Quran, its words. It specifies its meaning. Allah says in Surah An-Nahl, verse number 44, about the sunnah, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرِ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And we reveal to you the message that you may make clear to the people what was sent down to them and that they might give thought. So we have given to you the message, the Quran. Allah has given the sunnah to the Prophet so that he can clarify the Quran by means of it. So the Quran we see, number one, through the Quran, the truth has been made clear from falsehood. Number two, the sunnah. Now because the sunnah is what supplements the Quran, and therefore truth has become clear from falsehood. Because of this, the sunnah supplements the Quran, and thus, therefore what has happened? The truth has become clear from falsehood through the sunnah. Thirdly, how else has the truth become clear from falsehood? Through the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his mannerisms, his practice, his suluk, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with others, how he spoke to others, how he walked, what was his worship like, what did he do, what did he stay away from. So his mannerisms, his suluk, his practice, his dealings has done what? Through this, the truth has become clear from falsehood. What to do and what not to do. What is the correct manner and what is not the correct manner. The truth has also become clear from falsehood through the way of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, the rightly guided Khulafa, through their practices, through their dealings. So Islam became clear and evident. Also through the practices of the companions radiallahu anhum, how they walked, how they dealt with others, what were their practices, how was their worship like. So through this, the truth has become clear from falsehood. Rushd has become clear from ghay. Therefore, if we look at all of these points, whoever entered Islam at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and at the time of the companions entered Islam. Why? Because the truth was clear from falsehood. Because the proofs, the evidences were very, very clear. They saw the proofs, they saw the evidences, they saw the signs of the truthfulness of Islam, and so they accepted. And whoever says that Islam spread through the sword is completely wrong. Have you heard of this belief, thought, Islam was spread through the sword? It's very, very common. It was not spread through the sword. Here Allah is saying, لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ. There's no compulsion in the religion. There's no one who's going to be forced into accepting Islam. So at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, why did the people become Muslim? Were they forced to become Muslim? No, they saw the evident signs. They saw the truth before them, and so they accepted. Likewise at the time of the companions as well. And later on, we find many, many examples where the companions and later on the tabi'un, they left their houses. They were going forth to different lands and the people opened up their arms for them. Enter. We don't want to fight you. They accepted their leadership over them. Why? Were they forced? Was there any compulsion? No, they saw the truth. They saw the justice. For example, Umar radiallahu anhu, he was going towards Palestine, with his servant. And they were taking turns. Once a servant would sit on the steed, the animal. Another point, Umar radiallahu anhu would sit on the animal. And where were they going? They were going towards Palestine. Why were they going there? Because the Christians who were living there called them. The priest who was there wanted to give the keys of Jerusalem to Umar radiallahu anhu. So now they're going towards Palestine. Umar radiallahu anhu is on the steed. The servant is walking. Then they take turns. They're almost about to enter. Who's on the steed? Their servant. It's his turn. Umar radiallahu anhu is pulling the steed. What does a servant say at that moment? You're Amir al-Mu'mineen, why don't you ride? We're entering Jerusalem, we're going to meet the high chiefs over there. What did Umar radiallahu anhu say? This is your haqq. This is your right. I will not sit on this deed. And this is how they entered Jerusalem. We find other examples as well. Without any fight, no bloodshed, nothing, they opened their arms to them, come, enter. Was Islam spread through the sword? No. Then you can take the example of Andalus. When the Muslims entered Muslim Spain, was there any bloodshed? Any fighting? Nothing. The people opened up their arms, come, liberate us from the thinking and from the ideologies of our kings who have suppressed our thinking. And the Muslims entered. Was Islam spread through the sword? How was Islam spread? Their akhlaq, their dealings, their mannerisms, and thus the truth became clear from falsehood. So they saw these clear truths, evidence in front of them, and so they accepted. La ikraha fi din. There's no compulsion in accepting the religion. Then Allah says, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. And whoever denies in the طاغوت, whoever disbelieves in the false deities. Who are the طاغوت? What did you write in word analysis? Anything or anyone, the false deities who have left their servitude to Allah and they call others to their own servitude to worship them. They are the طاغوت. So they themselves have left the servitude to Allah and the call to their own servitude, their own worship. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, he explained the word طاغوت by saying, كُلُّ مَا تَجَاوَزَ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ كُلُّ مَا تَجَاوَزَ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ حَدُّهُ مِن مَعْبُودٍ أَوْ مَتْبُوعٍ أَوْ مُطَاعٍ. Any slave that exceeds the realm of servitude to Allah, whether it is a false deity, مَعْبُودٍ, a false deity, أَوْ مَتْبُوعٍ, a leader who is followed, أَوْ مُطَاعٍ, or someone who is obeyed. They are the طاغوت. So they have left the servitude to Allah, they have exceeded the limits, and they're calling others to their worship. So the first that is mentioned in this definition is مَعْبُودٍ. What is a مَعْبُود? Someone or something that is worshipped. So anything that is worshipped besides Allah is what? It is a false deity. Either the thing himself calls to his own worship, or people have taken him as an object of worship. So they are طاغوت, because they do not deserve to be worshipped. The second word that is mentioned is متبوعٍ. متبوعٍ, a leader that is followed. Someone who is followed. And this could refer to the أحبار, the رهبان of the people of the book, who were corrupted later on. How do people take them as their lords? Whatever they made halal, they would take it as halal. Whatever they made haram, they would make it haram. So like this, they followed the priests and the rabbis. And the third word that is mentioned over here is muta'in. And muta'in is referring to someone who is obeyed. This could refer to a leader or any person who calls people to obey him in the disobedience of Allah. So disobey Allah and obey me. So here Allah is saying, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. So whoever denies the طاغوت, whoever disbelieves in a طاغوت, what is meant by this? What is meant by kufr in the طاغوت? Number one, not worshipping the ma'bud. Not worshipping the ma'bud. Not following the matbu'. And ma'bud here is referring to all those who claim divinity besides Allah. Not worshipping the ma'bud, not following them if they're matbu', and not obeying them if they're mutar. So if they're calling to their own things, leave the worship of Allah, do not obey Allah and obey me, then in that case do not obey such a person. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. So whoever disbelieves, denies in the طاغوت. And this is the reason why it is very, very important. On one side a person should affirm Allah's being, on the other side he should cut off from all طاغوت. And if you think about it, if you connect this to the previous verse, Ayat al-Kursi. What is it in Ayat al-Kursi? The attributes of Allah, His grandeur, His greatness. And if you look at these طاغوت, do these طاغوت possess the same attributes? Do they have the same qualities? Is there any taghut in this dunya who can live forever or who gives life? Is there any taghut who sustains all existence, the heavens and the earth? Is there any taghut that does not sleep, does not die? Is there any taghut to whom belongs the heavens and the earth, whatever is in them? Is there any taghut to whom has authority in the hereafter, on the day of judgment, not only authority in this life but on that day as well? Is there any taghut that has vastness in its knowledge? Can you think of anyone, anything? No. No one besides Allah possesses these attributes. So who should be worshipped then? Who is worthy of worship? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So isn't this a very clear proof? And this is what Allah is saying, that indeed, certainly, truth has become clear from falsehood. The right way has become clear from the wrong way. And for this reason, we also say the kalima la ilaha illallah. In the kalima, what are we saying? La ilaha, there's negation, denying all taghut, illallah, except Allah. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, and believes in Allah. So on one side, he denies all taghut, and on the other side, he believes in Allah's being, his existence, his names, his attributes, his sifat. فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى, he has indeed grasped the most trustworthy handhold. لَنْ فِصَامَ لَهَا, with no break in it. The one who denies all taghut and believes in Allah alone has held on to the most trustworthy handhold. And how is this handhold? لَنْ فِصَامَ لَهَا, there's no break in it, no crack in it. A very strong handhold. So the one who believes in Allah, the one who has conviction, firm belief, yaqeen, that Allah will help me, He is the Lord, He is the God, He is worthy of worship, and he turns to Him in all his actions, all the time making dua to Him, Allah will definitely support him. Allah will not let him despair. Allah will not let go of such a person. In other words, Tawheed gives a person a very strong handhold with no break in it. Wallahu Samiun Alim, and Allah is hearing and knowing. And on one side, the way to the truth has become clear. And for this we see Allah sent messengers, Allah sent divine books. We mentioned the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, the ways of the companions. Now the truth is so clear, it is in front of us. But what does shaitan want to do? Does shaitan want us to go on the straight path? Does he want us to follow guidance? No, he doesn't. So he's after each and every person to mislead him, to take him away from the truth. Now in order for one to save himself from shaitan, what does he need to do? In light of this verse, deny the taghut and believe in Allah. In Surah Al-Hijr, verse number 39 and 40, Allah says, قَالَ, He said, who said? Iblis said, Shaytan said, رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, my Lord, because you have put me in error, so now he's blaming his Lord, I will surely make disobedience attractive to them on earth. He's referring to human beings. I will surely make disobedience, defiance, attractive to them, so they will go after this. They will leave obedience to Allah and go after disobedience to Allah. وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, and I will mislead them all. Except for who? إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, except among them your chosen servants. Who are these chosen servants? He's very firm in what he's saying, very decisive. I will mislead all of them, except for your chosen servants. Who are these chosen servants? Those who deny the taghut and believe in Allah alone, because they have held on to the most trustworthy handhold. A very strong connection. They cannot mislead such believers. In another verse, Al-Hijr 42, Allah says, إِنَّ عِبَادِ لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانِ, indeed, my servants, no authority will you have over them. My servants, who are Allah's servants? The true servants, sincere servants, those who are chosen, you will have over them no power, no authority. And these are those servants who believe in Allah alone. And what does it mean to believe in Allah? Allahu Allahu Rabbi, la ushriku bihi shay'an. La ushriku bihi shay'an, everything, in our worship, in our supplication, in whatever that we do. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the ally of those who believe. Allah is the friend a protector, a support for those who have iman. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ He brings them out from darknesses into the light. Allah takes out His friends from the darknesses. Which darknesses? Darknesses of misguidance, darknesses of disbelief, darknesses of ignorance, darknesses of defiance, disobedience. إِلَى النُّورِ Into the light. Light of what? Light of iman. Light of tawheed. Light of knowledge. Light of guidance. So Allah takes out His friends from the darknesses and into the light. اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا And those who disbelieve in Allah, أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتِ Their allies are طَاغُوتِ Their friends are these false deities. And what do these طَاغُوتِ do? يُخْرِجُونَهُ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ They take them out of the light into darknesses. So these طَاغُوتِ, they take them out from the light and into the darknesses. Light of what? The same as mentioned, light of iman, light of guidance, light of knowledge. So these false deities who are now their friends because they've disbelieved in Allah, they do not worship Allah, they do not supplicate to Him, or they commit shirk alongside Him, their friends have become the taghut. And these taghut mislead them. Take them out from light and into the darknesses of suffering, darknesses of problems, darknesses of doubts, darknesses of misguidance. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ Those are the companions of the fire. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ They will abide eternally therein. Such are the people who will reside in the fire. They're its companions. And they will live in the fire forever. So in conclusion, we see that in this verse, a believer is mentioned, Allah's friend is mentioned, the one who attains Allah's friendship, the one who comes close to Allah, the one who recognizes Allah, he has a light in his life. What does this light do? This light is a means of guidance for whatever that he does. And this is the reason why we make dua every single day. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Guide us to the straight path. We're calling out to Allah. Oh Allah, you guide us to the most sound, the straight path that will take us to Jannah. That one path. But where does a person get this light from? Where does he get the light from? The Qur'an. In the Qur'an, Allah describes the Qur'an as An-Nur. The one who holds on to the Qur'an, because the Qur'an is our connection with Allah, Allah will give him that light. Allah will become his support, his helper, his friend. And as for the one who leaves Allah and goes after the dunya, befriends something else, follows the taghut, obeys them, worships them, what happens to him? What is his outcome? Where will he end up? أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ Those are the companions of the fire, they will abide eternally therein. After this, an example is mentioned. And it's a very beautiful example, an example of someone who believed in Allah alone. An example of a friend of Allah, خَلِيلُ اللَّهِ. And on the other side is the example of someone who considered himself to be God. An example of a طاغوت. اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Allah is the ally of those who believe. Here a practical example is mentioned, and that is the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the previous verse, the طاغوت are mentioned. A practical example, and that is of Namrud, known as Nimrod in English. His example is mentioned. So we'll listen to the recitation, and then we'll continue.
لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها والله سميع عليم الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ.